from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? What are you eating over there? You got some chicken nuggies?
You got some chicken nuggies.
Where are those from?
Oh, just Jack in the Box.
McDonald's.
It was the only thing that was close. I was running a little late today, and I had nothing to eat. So.
Yeah, you were. Now you got everything to eat. You got Jack in the Box nuggies. That ought to go right through you.
Yeah.
3:45, you're on the toilet?
Mark it. 3:45, boy, you're giving me a lot of credit. That's more like a 3:32 sort of thing.
Bucks first sports update is what he's saying here.
Yeah. Okay, so the over-under is 3:30.
It was one of those things where I had about 10 minutes, and it was either that or go to the little 7-Eleven mini mart over there and grab some beef jerky. So there was no one in line, and I went for it.
I love it.
Needless to say, a 6-pack of value nuggies, and like $1.99 later, here we are.
Well, it smells delicious.
Well, I mean, you can't really screw up chicken nuggets, right?
I mean, no.
Oh, sure you can. Yeah, absolutely.
They're pretty mid.
You can screw. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's the definition of mid.
Yeah, it's just,
you can't really screw it up.
It's, as long as you cook it.
It's chicken. Yeah.
Please cook it.
Well, you don't even cook it. You fry it, for God's sakes.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, just don't.
I've had chicken nuggets that are inedible, and so yes, you can screw them up.
Really?
Yes.
From where?
Like, I'm not going to start throwing different potential advertisers under the bus or anything like that. So,
boy, I can already tell you that chicken nugget just gave me a, like, I already had the, where'd that one go? Well, when you don't eat like that very often, and then you do kind of eat it, you're like, oh yeah, this is why I don't eat like that.
100%. It's just, you know. There is nothing that reminds you, like, starkly reminds you why you don't do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that, the eating fast food. It just kicks you right in the teeth.
Yeah. Well, I had not had a chance to have anything to eat. I had to come right from the gym here, and there was just, I was sitting there being like, God, I cannot wait till 7:30 to get something to eat. And I was like debating, and I had like 10 minutes. And so you're like going through your options, and there just aren't options. There's no supermarket around here. There's no nothing. And it was just poor planning on my part. Well, I got delayed by that stupid train. We have a railroad track in front of the station that if you go, there's 2 ways you can go.
I feel like it's behind the station.
Is it? Yeah, well, I mean, front, behind, depends on which way you're coming from.
Yeah, I think it's behind.
Well, let's go behind.
Because the front door is over here.
Well, we don't really have a front door. The front door we're not allowed to use.
Symbolic front door?
But the kind of the entrance is here.
Well, I got stuck behind the damn train. And when you get stuck behind the train.
First world problems.
You're just sitting there for like 25 minutes. You're like, train. And nothing. And
you
should
have ordered Uber Eats
to
your car.
Can you do that?
Well, I don't
know
why.
Will someone bring Uber Eats to my car?
Well, just give them the address here and then say, oh, that's me right over here. Well, you're sitting in the parking lot.
I will say, as I was sitting there and you could see the train, I thought about getting out of the car and was like, if there had been something right by me, I would have gotten out of the car and gone and got something to eat. But that area right there, there's really.
And just left your car, or would you have pulled over?
No, just leave it there. It's not going. You can see the train. You can see the whole, like, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but what if all of a sudden there's the caboose? And then you're like, oh my God, oh no. And then you're waiting for your food, and then what do you do?
It's a whole thing. So it was poor planning on my part. But yeah, when you got no other options.
Rough life for you today.
You end up with some, I don't know, Deadpool nuggies? I don't know, Deadpool Wolverine nuggies, I guess?
Hey, when's the first fast food joint to sort of step up their bag game? Because I saw that bag, I'm like, I wonder where that's from. And then I'm like, well, that looks like every other fast food bag on the planet.
Yeah, but this one's got a Jack in the Box Deadpool logo.
Yeah, but
it
I
says
just,
they're really marketing me everywhere, Deadpool.
Well, I think now they're all brown like that because they can't be left out of the we're using recycled paper. Oh, you know, except for maybe In-N-Out, I think still does white bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh.
Is there a market for reusable fast food bags?
I think they just need to prove that they're environmentally conscious. It's one of those things.
Yeah. Just have to at least show it on the
pretend
surface.
Pretend you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Put
the aesthetic things.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to pretend. It's like every corporation pretends that they care. They don't care.
Well, you just have to say. All you have to do is say it.
Say that you care.
Sustainability is very important to it. You know, just put that on the front of your website. And that's all you need to do.
And then you have to, when you check out, you have to be asked to donate to some charity that you've never heard of before. And, you know, hey, would you like to donate? No, I don't. I'm good.
Do you ever do that?
Never.
I don't either.
No. Here's my thing. If you would like to donate, giant multi-billion-dollar corporation, you donate. Why are you asking me to donate? You're getting into a whole thing with me with the... You're going to get me on a rant. It's that damn little pad that turns around. It's like the... If you own a Dutch Brothers coffee, it's the most ingenious thing in the world because you have convinced everyone else that you don't need to pay your employees. They need to pay your employees. Drives me crazy.
Well, what about... But wait. So, like, if I'm at Freddy's and they flip the thing around and it says, would you like to add BBZ?
Yeah.
That... I've never taken that as... But I've always just taken that as, oh, Fred Meyer partners with that charity.
That's different than the tipping and the roundup for charity. I guess they're two different things.
Yeah. Right.
It's one thing if you flip it and it says, would you like to? But like when you go to the movies now, they say, hey, would you, the Stars of, first, I don't know what Stars of Hope is. But when I go to the movie, they're like, hey, would you like to donate to Stars of Hope? I don't know what Stars of Hope is. And no, if you would like to donate to Stars of Hope, be my guest. But quit asking me every time I make a simple transaction. It's the same thing like now when you go to a ballpark, you can go to a Timbers game and you go to buy your $12 popcorn because it's $12 because it's at Providence Park. That's what, you know, everything's expensive at things. And you go to, you tap your card and the lady turns around and it's pre-made popcorn in the bag. She hands you the bag and then they spin that thing around and it's like, would you like to tip? For what? For handing me a bag of popcorn? Again, we've all now have been conditioned to be like, well, companies aren't going to pay them, so you pay them. What? Then just raise the price of popcorn and pay them. We just have got to stop this merry-go-round that we're all on where it's like, well, everything's expensive, so you just need to give more of your money to other people. Just, no, I'm done. I'm done. Quit
Look
asking,
at you.
Quit asking me to donate
America.
And quit asking me to tip for things that...
USA,
that you don't do
USA,
anything. USA, and it's so arbitrary. And people that you probably should tip don't get tipped. I say this all the time. Like, you will feel guilty about not tipping someone or made to feel guilty because they handed you a coffee or handed you a bag of popcorn. But you don't tip the HVAC guy who in 110 degree weather goes up into the attic, battles the insulation. You don't tip him. Why? That guy is actually a guy that probably should get your tip.
Well, I think the distinction there is that he makes a full-time salary.
Does he?
I mean, that's what we're assuming, yeah. I mean,
that HVAC guy is not getting hourly, I don't think.
And so the...
Oh, no, the HVAC guy, I'll bet you a lot of those guys are hourly.
But they might make good... I mean, who knows?
I mean, not minimum wage hourly.
Right. I think that's the distinction is, like, if you've got... The people want tips if they really rely on those to actually make a wage.
I just love the business model now of, we're not going to pay our employees... You pay our employees.
See, I never had the mindset that it's they're saying we're not paying them. They're just saying, in addition to you paying us, we're going to put our hand out so that you hopefully pay them too. Yeah.
Burgerville hit me up today for the tip in the drive-thru. They handed me the debit card reader. Again, I sympathize with the plight of those people. I understand that those aren't high-paying jobs, but you're now on top of goods already being expensive, and we all know that stuff costs more. You're now being like, well, let's just hand more money out because... this person needs more. But again, the company won't do it. Just raise the price. If that's what it is, instead of having my meal at Burgerville cost me $16, make it $18 and pay that person a livable wage.
But if the perception is that it's more expensive, then the entire brand will suffer because everyone will talk about how expensive your place is.
Yeah.
But wait, isn't that... If you would rather pay $18 to the company and not $2 to the person at the... Why wouldn't you rather pay only $16 to the company and then $2 to the person because that person gets the $2 instead of the company?
But that's the point, is the person isn't getting that money either way. Like the model that we have now, or that we're being told, is, well, the companies can't afford to pay anyone, therefore you have to pay them. And where does it stop? It's so arbitrary. And it just...
I'm going to put a tip jar in here.
I'm over it.
Every good joke I want you to drop.
Exactly.
I think I deserve a $5 from you every good joke. And look, I'll be fair.
Yeah.
If it's a bad joke,
yeah,
take a buck out.
Well, just someone asked me, when did we go from tipping for service and have no problem? Generous tipping, great service, fine. When did it go from tipping for great service to tipping for okay service, tipping to any service, tipping for bad service, tipping for no service? When did that become the thing? When did the little pad spin around no matter what someone does? And they're like, would you like to give me more money? And really what we're doing is, can I make you feel bad about not giving me money?
Yeah, I think it changed when the low-level worker started rising up.
Yeah.
That's when it changed.
But again, it wasn't...
All within the last...
But it wasn't the companies that... Like, we all rised up and were like, we're angry that the companies weren't paying them livable wages. And the companies didn't change. They just turned to the rest of us and was like, you make sure that we have livable wages.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
That seems confusing.
That's probably what you'd do if you ran a company too.
Again,
pass the buck, baby.
It's kind of a brilliant model, but the only ones that are allowed to do it are like certain ones. But then, like I said, other jobs where the person really is doing a lot for you. If a person services your like does your brakes, like, that guy probably should get a tip. Like, if we're talking about effort and that someone should get something.
See, I disagree. Again, living wage. He's doing fine. Look, here's the point about tips. The thing about tips, you can tip anyone you want.
Yeah.
So tip him. If you think the brake guy needs to be tipped, how about this? Pull out your damn wallet and tip his ass. How about that?
Yeah.
Or if you think somebody doesn't need to be tipped, just hit zero on the little card reader thing. Because I do that sometimes too.
Yeah. I just think we've gotten into this thing now where it's like it's turned into a shame sort of thing. Like, well, you know, here's the, every time that thing spins around, and it's spinning around for more and more things. And it's the same thing with the would you like to donate? Nice guilt trip. No, you know what? I'm not donating to Stars of Hope.
Yeah, donating.
No offense to the Stars
of Hope.
Who does that?
Kids cancer? What?
And again, do we? I don't even know what that is. How much money of that goes to it? It just in I don't know. It just seems that we've crossed some sort of weird line where we all talk about how expensive stuff is, but at the same time, we're just being asked at every turn now to just give more money to something that's already expensive. It seems very odd to me.
We have Joey Harrington today.
Yes.
Joey Harrington today. We have Joey Harrington today.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, he's coming on at 5:30.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
I love talking to
you. You fired up? Are you going to be here for it, or are you going to be on the toilet pooping out chicken nuggies?
Oh, it's fine. I'm not even going to eat the rest of it. To be honest with you, like, those, would you like two chicken nuggets? Because those aren't going to get
finished. Only no, but F no.
Yeah. That was one of those, I think I wasted $1.99.
Oh, $2 though. That's good.
Yeah. $1.99.
And no tip?
No.
You didn't round up the 1 cent? You know, you can do acorns. Have you ever done acorns? You heard about acorns?
Oh, is that the investment thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it rounds up,
yeah,
your,
it rounds up
all your debit card charges. You just take all the extra cents and it throws it into an investment account. And then, and then you have
money. I thought we all hated Acorn because they were screwing over the GameStop people.
Acorns?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was Robinhood.
Oh, that
was Robinhood.
Sorry. I get confused with who we hate now and why we hate them. And
we hate everyone.
All this sort of thing.
Right?
Yeah.
We hate everyone. Buck, we hate you.
Okay, I use Acorns. I like it.
Vancouver, I use Acorns, too. I think it's great.
Yeah. Vancouver Ford text line. I tip food service people because they rarely make enough to live on because they have to put up with people like Souk.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
We think.
All right, Joey, at 5:30, let's get our poll question in. Now, I got to warn you, this poll question, because I like I like it when my poll questions end up being very close between all four answers.
Yes. Yeah. Means you've done a good poll.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't like it when one runs away with it or it's just two. That means I kind of, you know, I should have thought out the other two options better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, this might be my finest work.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Coming up next, because it is close.
You have
bold.
All
bold
four.
Claim,
bold
sir.
Statement.
All four. Very bold close. And I can't statement. Wait to hear what Big Sook specifically, which one you pick.
Let's go.
So is that an exciting tease for Sports Talk on a Friday?
I am giddy.
Come right on. That'll be next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, it's time for our poll question today. It's on X at 1080 The Fan, as always. Yesterday we asked you, what that could occur within the next few years is least believable. Now, this one got a lot of votes on all four counts as well. Seahawks making the Super Bowl wins at 35%.
No love for the Hawks, huh?
No.
Turns out, by the way, that Geno, who's missed the 2 days, they say he's fine. It, you know, that report came out of camp today.
Yeah, good. I was thinking about him today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like as big of a surprise as he has been, mm-hmm. based on his, you know, the start of his career.
Yeah, where he was.
I mean, he's been pretty good in Seattle.
Absolutely.
Deserves
way better than anyone would have thought.
Deserves the contract that he got.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is just the definition of I mean, it's like, what I was thinking, like, how will you...
I love that you went the definition and then it was this painful...
How will you remember the Geno Smith years? The answer is you won't. It's just, they're kind of 500, he's fine. They're like the Mo Cheeks years here in Portland.
Yeah. look.
How will you remember the Mo Cheeks years? It's like, I don't know.
I can't disagree.
The national anthem thing?
Yeah.
Maybe Geno Smith will help a girl sing the national anthem.
I can't necessarily, like, poo-poo that. I just think he's been better than...
Well, yeah.
He's been better than that.
Well, I said that. But, again, that doesn't mean anything. They've been 500. And it's not, and they're not that great to watch, and you kind of know they're not really going anywhere.
Well, and that's, and again, I guess that's where I disagree, because I do think they can go somewhere. I think Seattle is a team that people are sleeping on, and we'll see what happens. We'll see. A new coach, and but I really like their roster, and if you took Geno's last 3 years, well, let's go with the last two, because the first one he only played a handful of games. It's been 2 years, but if I told, I mean, the vast majority of NFL teams that I was going to give you Geno Smith's numbers over 22 and 23, where we're talking about, you know, one of the most accurate passers in the NFL, high 60%, 30 and 11 and 20 and 9 for touchdowns, and a quarterback rating of 101 and then 92. I just think the vast majority of teams take that. I get it. He's not Pat Mahomes, and he's not going to be a guy that's going to elevate you to a Super Bowl. But we've also seen the Joe Flaccos and the Brad Johnsons and the Eli Mannings and the Nick Foles win Super Bowls. Yeah. And that's a samesies to me with Geno Smith. Now, the question is the rest of Seattle good enough? Because Geno can't carry you. But I think you can win with Geno Smith, and I think they will win with Geno Smith. So how will the Geno Smith years be remembered? I think the pages of that book are unwritten. They may surprise some people.
Yeah, well, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully you're right. So Seahawks make the Super Bowl 35%. Blazers sell 26%. Ducks win the college football playoff 20%. And Beavers and Cougs find a Pac-4 or a Power 4 home 19%.
By the way, those we talked about the quote internet rumors, those are now making their way into mainstream everywhere. John Wilner was talking about it today. The Ducks and the Beavers, or not Ducks and the Beavers, the Beavers and Cougs, both kind of making statements saying, hey, you know, we're in talks. There is some real heat. There is some real momentum. Not that it's a guarantee that it's done, but these are not just internet rumors. There is some real heat with ESPN and Oregon State and Washington State. And, you know, when they say, you know, an offer could come even from a Power Four, we're clearly talking about the Big 12 here. We know that the Big 12 are having internal discussions, and there's a lifeline out there right now. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and for Oregon State and Washington State, and that's the first time we've said that since this whole debacle. And today, by the way, is the first day of the official,
yes,
I guess the exodus of the 10 and the rise of the 2 and all that stuff.
The Pac-12 is dead,
yes,
officially,
yeah.
And the Big 10 has the LA schools in Oregon and Washington,
yeah,
beginning this morning at whatever it was, or last night at midnight. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, we're going to get the Beaver and Coug Network from ESPN, like the old Longhorn Network, right?
Well, they're on the CW a bunch.
Here is today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Today we're asking you, and I'm telling you, this is a tight one, at least so far. Who would you most want for your defense?
Oh.
Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, or Nick Bosa?
That's really good.
That's tough.
That's tough.
Let me give you an update. And by the way, those two chicken, I have a hot chicken nuggy update.
Yeah, what do you got?
Because I'm an investigative journalist.
Yeah.
Those two chicken nuggies, Sook said he wouldn't eat. They didn't stand a chance.
No, they didn't stand a chance. I got them.
He got them.
The hunger certainly won out over those. Didn't want to eat them. Kind of felt like I had to eat them. That's a good one. I think I would go with TJ Watt, to be honest with you.
We have a leader in the clubhouse, barely, by a nose.
Yeah.
It's Micah Parsons.
Oh, okay. And by the way, there's no wrong answer to...
No, they're all great.
No answer to any of those.
Bosa is next, followed by... Right behind him is Miles Garrett, and then TJ Watt is last, yeah. But they're all, like, right in the 20s.
I think I would probably go with, again, it's a sliver, and this is just off a knee-jerk reaction. I think I'd go TJ. I think I'd go Garrett. I think I'd go... Well, the Bosa injury thing scares me, but I mean, TJ's been dinged up, Garrett's banged up. I think I'd go TJ, Garrett, Bosa, Parsons.
TJ
and
Garrett,
that's
Bosa. Wow.
And those are all just
Parsons last, huh?
I mean, that's what I'm like. It's you're in slivers. The only thing about Parsons is there's some rumblings out of Dallas that he's kind of a, you know, he's kind of a pain in the ass. And that's honestly the like, how do you differentiate between those guys that are all defensive player of the year type guys? Several have won. And I just, you know, there's rumblings and whether or not there's a ton of truth to those things, you just hear that, you know, Dallas and Dallas can be tough. I mean, we haven't seen Dak get paid. We haven't seen, you know, CeeDee Lamb get paid. There's just some talk that maybe, you know, he's not the best in the locker room. And if you're trying to differentiate between greatness, and that's all that is pure greatness, maybe that's enough for me to inch the other direction. But I certainly like, I mean, love Micah Parsons. Love any of those guys.
All right, vote and vote hard. I wanted to read you, because a lot of people may not have been up on what this bro was throwing out there on social media that kind of got all this Oregon State, Washington State to the Big 12 stuff started.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go back and read what he wrote. And this is all from basically yesterday.
Yeah, like the last 48 hours, really, has this kind of kicked up a little bit.
I'm scrolling back. He's got quite a bit here.
Mm-hmm. Bloop, 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 bloop. Which is now like John Wilner had. Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yarmark is exploring new TV windows in order to create value for schools and allows to offer three radical suggestions for the future of the college football schedule. Like, more and more people are talking about this now. There is definitely some heat. Here is another one. Washington State and Oregon State are engaged in strategic discussions with multiple conferences, including the Power Four, quote, Big 12. And this says an offer could come, the source said, but some dominoes have to fall. So, and again, this is from someone who really has been a voice of authority on the Pac-12 over the last 20 years. So when he's now getting this information, give credit where credit's due. Yeah, it's an anonymous, you know, internet account or Twitter account, but that son of a gun has been right before. And it certainly feels like he has kind of sniffed this out before anyone else did.
He says, my contact is saying a straw poll is currently being conducted to see how much support there is for adding Pac-2. West Virginia is a no.
Yeah.
Kansas, Oklahoma State, Central Florida, Cincinnati, also no votes. None of those five are a hard no, though. More information needed. Board meeting informally to discuss with consultants. Yeah. Ew, consultants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just, you know, talk, whether it's the ACC, you know, bolstering their West Coast and guarding against the crumbling of their conference by adding those. If it's the Big 12 being aggressive, or again, there's always the Mountain West merger, but Oregon State and Washington State, that would be a last ditch effort. They are looking to land a landing spot in the Power Four. And, you know, I would assume right now that there are, from everything you're hearing, there's discussions going on with both of, it's not the SEC and it's not the Big Ten, obviously, but, you know, there's probably some talk with both the Big 12 and the ACC. And that's, again, the first time we've heard any sort of thing that has any traction about Oregon State and Washington State, which were, you know, left for dead. No one wanted them. None of the TV networks wanted anything to do with them. And now all of a sudden there's some renewed interest, and whether that's because they're trying to keep the streaming services from that content, whether that's trying to open up new West Coast slots for expanded TV deals to sell to streaming companies, for whatever, or again, the ACC trying to bolster theirs and try to keep more teams if they have an exodus from a couple teams. Any way you look at it, right now, it feels like there's some wheels in motion, and this could be really advantageous for Oregon State and Washington State.
Yeah, I wonder if the Big 12, it's a tough sort of dance for them, because I would think, to some degree, they want to be very big. I mean, they're at 16 right now. I mean, if they just start loading up more schools, that wouldn't be the worst move ever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you want the best of those schools. And so I'm sure they want Florida State and have been talking to Florida State and Clemson if the SEC doesn't want them. So if they're in a holding pattern, then do you expand with schools that are not quite as, you know, wouldn't pay as big a dividend as those two? Do you go ahead and do that and just solidify your league with more schools? Or do you wait? That's a tough...
Yeah.
It's kind of a tough song and dance, but I could see the Big 12 just going, look, we're going to get to 20
yeah.
right now
yep.
and just keep loading up, and then we'll peel off some ACC teams if that ends up breaking up. And then I just think that the more that they have, the more money they're going to get on their TV deal, and the better off they're going to be.
Yeah.
The harder it is to bust up, you know what I'm saying?
I just thought that maybe this would have taken a little bit of time to work itself out. And by the way, it may still.
Well, it kind of is.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're not, nobody's really going for the gusto right now. They're all kind of sniffing around and feeling each other out. And it's kind of a weird pattern.
But it's nice that you've got 2 years of Oregon State, Washington State. You got kind of a 2 year grace period where you're just kind of hanging out. And we said all along that the goal was to hang out and find a landing spot. And I think you got to be somewhat optimistic that we are literally one day into the new conference alignment here, and already there are reports of internal discussions going on and possibly offers from one or maybe two Power Four that could come down the road. So just, it's day one, and already that conversation is out there. I think that is a very, very good sign. And if you would have told me this 3-4 months ago, I think I probably would have rolled my eyes at that and been like, yeah, well, we'll see what happens further down the road. But, you know, we'll see.
All right, vote on our poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Who would you most want for your defense? Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, or Nick Bosa? Vote, and vote hard. It is official. The Ducks are in the Big Ten. Next, here is Buck. Well, it's official today. The Ducks, the LA schools, Huskies.
Yep.
They are in the Big Ten.
And then Arizona and Utah and all those schools are first members of the Big 12. And then the cheese stands alone. The Cougs and the Beavs are sitting there in the Pac-2.
Did you see the Big Ten released its maps graphic thing that they do? You know the maps ad that they have?
Oh, yeah. With the,
yeah, with yeah. the flyover thing.
Yep.
With the,
yep.
I don't know why, but that's become a big deal.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I knew what you were talking about.
It's, yeah, it's something that everybody, yeah, I don't know, people like it. College football fans like it.
Yeah.
It's a big deal in the Big Ten, I think.
It's synonymous with the opening of their games. They do the, you know, the flyover thing.
Is there a giant flyover now where there's the 1,000 miles between the California schools?
Yes.
And what?
Well,
I guess it's not, I mean, Nebraska would be the next one, right?
It's interesting because the new flyover starts out west, and it flies over Seattle.
Oh, so we start in Seattle, Oregon, and then down.
And then it goes down to the LA schools. And then, yeah, it really zooms fast over all of that vast land to Nebraska.
Okay, I see.
But it has it in the right place. It's just, you know what I noticed? I noticed two things today. One was from Twitter. Somebody tweeted this, and this is exactly why Twitter was invented. Did you know that Illinois is actually, if you list the Big Ten teams alphabetically, Illinois is first? Is that not mind-blowing?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I never thought about that. But
no one has.
If you said that off the cuff, you're like, hey, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Illinois is the first. I'd be like, no, it's not. And then I'd be like, wait, yeah, I guess it is.
If I said, hey, go, rank the Big Ten teams alphabetically, go.
I would have not come up with Illinois.
Well, now, I mean, I guess you could make a case for UCLA, but it's not UCLA.
There's a U. It's the University of.
It's Cal Los Angeles.
But it's not.
Exactly.
It's the University of.
Well, right. I'm just saying that you could make that, like, if you wanted to really push back, you could go that route. But yeah, it's technically Illinois, which I think is amazing.
For comparison's sake, the SEC has 5 teams before you get to I.
Yeah.
Alabama, Arkansas, yeah. Auburn, Florida, Georgia. Yeah.
So somebody thought that and put it on Twitter, and I thought that was great.
I like that. Yeah.
The second thing is, I was looking at the flyover vid or the graphic, you know, that they do. You know,
I'm looking at it right now.
Besides the LA schools now,
yeah.
What is the southernmost Big Ten school? Is it Nebraska?
Yeah, it would be Nebraska.
Isn't that weird to think?
Because Nebraska's right across from Colorado. Like, Nebraska's further down than you think.
Well, but it's not that far now. I mean, it's north of Kansas, which is right in the middle. And
yeah.
I would think maybe, I don't know where Champaign actually is. Maybe it's Champaign, Illinois. But if it's in northern Illinois, it's not Champaign.
It actually looks like Bloomington.
Is Bloomington, you think Bloomington south
is
of Lincoln?
Further south than Champaign.
Okay.
And then Lincoln. I'm looking at a map now, and you can see.
Yeah, I'm pulling. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just barely.
So Indiana is the furthest south in the Big Ten. Isn't that kind of weird to think about?
Yeah, that does appear to be the case. Yeah, Nebraska sits a little, because I, you know, when I lived in Colorado, it was always, you just, you know, it was Nebraska. But you're right. It, Nebraska doesn't really sit that far down. It's mostly Kansas and then a little corner where,
well,
you
without
get
the Dakotas, it's Nebraska and Canada.
Yeah. Well, I'll be damned,
fella.
Yeah, it is weird when you look at a map, because, like, you're right in that Illinois and Indiana are down further than further down than you think.
Huh. But they're not that far down, though. Like, no. That's the southernmost point.
That's the southernmost point.
You just think of them, I don't know, I think of them as very Midwest-y league.
Yeah.
But they're really not. They're very north.
Yeah. Well, and then you, the crazy part is you look at, like, at Southern California compared to the rest, and now you're talking.
Yeah, they're way
now,
down.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Yeah, all their fans. I tell you what, UCLA might fill up their stadium just from opposing fans wanting to get out of the cold now that they play in the Big Ten.
By the way, Vancouver 4 text line is in, and I think this person is correct. Is it not the University of Illinois?
It is, yeah.
So, technically, the,
but it's not UI. That's what I'm saying about UCLA.
Well,
when you list them in the standings, like it yeah. just says Illinois right. instead of University.
And
I mean,
UCLA is.
Yeah, I'm just saying that person with the UCLA thing, they've got an argument to be made.
Technically, they're
because
correct.
It is the University of Illinois and it's the University of California, Los Angeles. So by that logic, if we're eliminating the university from the front of it, then UCLA goes to the front. And because of their head coach, I do know they're in Los Angeles.
As someone said on social media.
Now the
media.
Question becomes, which one's further south, USC or
well,
UCLA?
Learned this today by the flyover graphic.
Okay.
They put UCLA north of USC, which I do believe to be true because...
Wow. Well, I know that...
Yeah, I think UCLA's north.
UCLA is that, it's like Brentwood, right?
Yeah. And LA's...
No, north. It's Westwood.
Yeah, Westwood.
Westwood.
Exactly.
And then the LA, or USC's Compton.
Sure.
So Compton further south? Mm.
I don't know.
Yeah, South Central.
Yeah, all right. Hey, we've learned something.
Yep.
We've learned something today. And then, of course, the Rose Bowl is nowhere near the campus. So there you go.
Well, glorious.
They took the Rose Bowl out of the graphic, too. It used to be in it, but they took it out.
The Rose Bowl is the best, worst stadium that anyone has in the country. Because
they just flatten it and build a new one right there.
No.
Well, no. Follow me on this. There's nothing better than a big game at the Rose Bowl.
It's great.
The problem is UCLA sucks and no one goes. And so when you go see a game at the Rose Bowl with UCLA and there's seven fans there, It's an abomination. It looks terrible. It's the best stadium that ends up being the worst stadium. UCLA would be so much better off. And they've talked about this. I think Troy Aikman is trying to put this out into the college football universe too. He says build a 35 to 40,000 seat stadium a la Oregon State and build it on campus. And he said you can actually fill that. It'll be a great environment. Because UCLA has never and isn't going to ever fill the Rose Bowl. And it looks terrible. And when Oklahoma and these people come, they fill it up with their own fans. And no one wants to drive. We've all done that. It's nowhere near campus. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a pain in the ass to get to. And while it's great for a national title game, it's terrible when UCLA's playing Michigan State.
Yeah, but I still don't think they're going to spend that money when they got the Rose Bowl sitting there.
Yeah.
The iconic Rose Bowl.
Well, that's dumb. That's like you having... That's like being a single guy and buying a big, giant, decrepit mansion that you can't furnish, you can't pay the taxes on, and yet you get to claim that you live in a mansion. And when everyone shows up at your party, you're like, dude, this place sucks.
Didn't Stanford build a on-campus stadium and no one goes?
Well, that's tough. Well, but that's Stanford.
Same thing.
That's Stanford. Yeah, but
it is. No one cares at Stanford, but I don't think they really care at UCLA either.
You'd have a much better chance of filling a 35,000 seat stadium on campus than you would a stadium that can take an hour to get to in traffic that holds 100,000 people that you can get 25 to show up to.
Students have to figure out if they're going to go over in groups, how they're going to do it. Are they going to get a bus? Are they going to take a shuttle? It's a total pain for the kids who even go there.
Yeah. Which is why no one goes and their team sucks. And it's that's what I'm saying. As a stadium, believe it or not, and now we're into the Big Ten, and I'd have to go through and find out what the rest of the Big Ten has. But I would say in the Pac-12, the worst stadium situation in the Pac-12, the old Pac-12, was UCLA. Martin Stadium's great. Small, great environment, and they pack it when they're good. Reser is a sneaky good stadium now that all the renovations have been done. It's a beautiful stadium. We know Washington's great. Oregon's great. Even Cal redid theirs, and it's on campus. And it's got better facilities, and it's there. UCLA renovated the Coliseum, put a bunch of money into that. There is Colorado, great. Utah, great. It's not even close. The worst stadium situation in the Pac-12, and I'd be willing to venture, because I don't know exactly what Rutgers or Maryland has going on, but I'd venture that it's probably the worst in the Big Ten. And isn't that weird that the Rose Bowl is the worst stadium situation in a conference?
Being there is awesome. Getting there is horrendous.
Yes.
Yeah, but don't you think that there's going to be a lot of Big Ten fans that are going to go to that game, the road game?
And they'll be very surprised to find out how far away it is from L.A.
A fall or winter trip to Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it's going to be really embarrassing for UCLA when there's 10,000 whatever fans there and there's seven of your own. Remember a couple years ago, they had a thing where if you bought a ticket to the Oklahoma was coming to play there, and they were running a promotion that if you bought a ticket to the Oklahoma game, they were giving you free tickets to another game because they were desperate to get fans in the door because they didn't want to be embarrassed on national TV with the crowd being all Oklahoma. How on earth that team got an invite to the biggest conference in the country when that's your situation, when you're begging people to show up so that you don't get embarrassed with your own crowd on national TV? That says something about where you're at.
So November 8th, okay?
Yeah.
So UCLA's home games are Indiana, Oregon, Minnesota. And that's all they have until November 8th.
Yep.
So, you know, in September, I don't know if Indiana fans are clamoring to get out of the cold yet. Obviously, a little early. Minnesota may be the same. But by November 8th,
yep,
they host Iowa. Will that be an Iowa home game?
Yes, it will be.
Because
yeah,
I think
it will be.
I think they have pretty good traveling fans, don't they?
They
really
they
loyal travel. Fan base.
Yep, and there's probably a lot of them on the West that have moved out here that they will come to that. That will be an Iowa home game, and it will be an embarrassment to UCLA, and UCLA will score 7 points.
Go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
And here's a Vancouver 4 text line. ESPN ranked the Rose Bowl number 2 on their best stadium list, right behind Tiger Stadium. Husky Stadium was 7, Autzen 11. This is why I said it's the best worst situation in the country. No one's doubting the Rose Bowl's greatness. Maybe the best game I've been to in person where I had goosebumps. I've said it on the air. It's one of the few times in the 20 plus years since I stopped playing that made me jealous I missed playing was the Ohio State Oregon Rose Bowl. God, that was awesome.
The second one?
The first one with Terrell Pryor. I remember being on the field for that and thinking to myself, this is college football.
Were there two?
No, the other one was Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, but the other Ohio State game was in Dallas.
It was in Dallas.
Championship game.
No, the Ohio State, they played Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. They played Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl.
That was a great game.
And it was such an amazing environment. And so that's what the Rose Bowl should be too. But I asked the question, when was the last time there was a regular season game at the Rose Bowl that meant something, that was a great environment, that was packed and felt like a big time college football game? I mean,
I feel like they'd hosted Texas there 7 or 8 years ago, maybe, and that was kind of a big deal, but it's been a long time.
Did people show? Because
I don't recall.
You know, I don't know. There's a reason why prominent UCLA alum are trying to, if that really is, I promise you, no one in LSU and no one at Autzen, no one at Beaver Stadium, no one at Penn State is being like, hey, you know what we should do? We should build a new stadium and make it smaller. And yet UCLA is doing that. So you can say the Rose Bowl is a great stadium, and it is. It's not a great stadium for UCLA. It's a terrible stadium. Like Minnesota did this. Minnesota, a number of years ago, was like, dude, they built a small, intimate stadium, and they did a really cool job. They built it open air, and they built it on campus, and it's a great environment. People say that's a really cool stadium to go see a game in because they realize they can't play in a big, empty dome. It's brutal. Like, that doesn't sell fans. It doesn't sell players. It doesn't sell your program. And they were smart enough to build a cool, comfy stadium and make it their own. And if UCLA had any sense or any money or any sort of commitment to being good, they would build one on campus. And they would build something that's 35,000 seats, pack it.
Shut up.
And imagine like a Martin Stadium or a Reser on the UCLA campus with that sort of environment if UCLA got good.
Hey, will you shut up?
It'd be great.
So Chip had them 9-3 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was looking at their schedule. They beat Washington there to go to 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hosted number 11 Utah the next week
yeah.
at the Rose Bowl. Attendance guess?
well, announced, which is going to be horse crap, but I'll go 42,000.
Exactly. 42,000. Look at
Whoa.
You.
Whoa.
Right on the really? Number. Yeah, and they had 42,000 for the Washington game the week before.
So really they had 37?
There are photos of it on the just the recap of the game. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
right?
I mean, it's not horrible.
And what was the ranking of those teams?
Washington was 15th. Utah was 11th. So UCLA ended up being 6-0 and then was headed to Oregon that next week, and yeah. then Oregon beat him 45-30. But
okay, so you had a ranked UCLA team that was had one loss, and they were playing two top 15 teams.
No, they were undefeated.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, 5-0.
5-0.
They beat Washington. They are 5-0. Yeah. They host number 11 Utah the next week. Should be fever pitch, right?
Yeah.
42,000.
Which, again, means 30-something and change. Less than half full. Point exactly.
Can I just report that I'm watching the Diamondbacks and Pirates?
Why? And,
well, I don't know, but...
Okay. It's not Skeens Day, is it?
No, it isn't. It was just the first game up. The first four guys have hit home runs.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh.
The well, first four guys for the Diamondbacks.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Four straight solo... actually, I think Corbin Carroll's was an inside the Parker, maybe with an error.
Yeah.
But the other... the well, next three guys...
This was a bomb.
Next three guys just launched it. This pitcher's a gas can. Some guy named Ortiz. Getting smoked out there.
Hey, made a smart decision in watching that game.
I did.
I got archery on the TV right now.
I got women's water polo, USA, USA.
How about
I'm seeing
that?
Flava Flav and Guy Fieri out there together.
We got water polo, archery, and some gas can in Pittsburgh giving up bombs.
Let's see if this next guy... What do you think the record is for consecutive home runs to start a game?
I'm guessing three or four. Well, now, I mean, that's four, so...
I mean, I don't know if Carroll's is technically a home run.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, but three in a row.
All right. That's pretty damn cool.
All right. Well, are we ready for Hard Knocks Oregon Ducks?
Let's go.
You ready for that? That's next on The Fan. So the record in baseball for consecutive home runs to start a game is three. Mm-hmm.
Three teams have done that.
And the record for consecutive home runs anywhere in a game by the same team is four, done eight times. Mm-hmm. Now, the official ruling for the Diamondbacks tonight on Corbin Carroll was that it was a triple and he scored on an error. Mm. So the Diamondbacks hit three straight home runs after that. So
that would have been pretty cool though. That would have,
yeah,
that would have broken the record,
broken
right?
the record to start a game. Yeah. And tied the record for any time in a game. So, yeah.
By the way, not bad. The people that have actually hit the three home runs, there's some decent names in there. We got a Gary Shetfield in there. We got a Tony Gwynn and John Kruk. Brady Anderson and Will Clark, part of the mixes there.
Well, he's saying this is to lead off a game four straight. Padres, Marvell Wynn, Tony Gwynn, John Kruk, Fred McGriff. By the way,
to start because I've only
that's what he's saying.
All right, the one I see just says Wynn, Gwynn, and Kruk.
Gwynn, Kruk, McGriff. Do you remember those three hitting?
I do remember Fred McGriff briefly on the Padres.
I don't remember Kruk as a Padre.
I don't either.
No, I don't remember Kruk.
That's a pretty solid 2-3-4 right there.
I do remember the crime dog there, but not Kruk.
Yeah. Yeah, the crime dog made his way around.
Tampa?
He was in Tampa for a bit. He bounced around a little bit. Well, that's like, Will Clark was like one of my all-time favorite players. Like, when I was growing up, he was my favorite player. And it's weird when I think about him with the Orioles. Because it's, you know, he's a giant to me, and then he was in Texas. And so it's weird. Like, there's always that... It's always that weird, like, Shaq with the Celtics or Shaq with the Suns.
God, you know? He had a bunch of those.
Yeah, it's strange when that happens.
Crime Dog started in Toronto, went to San Diego, Atlanta.
He was in, see, I would have thought Atlanta and then San Diego.
Tampa Bay, Chicago, Cubbies, Dodgers, back to Tampa.
Get right the hell out of town.
Man, yeah. I don't remember the Cubs or Dodgers.
No, I don't remember
he
that
He was
at
old.
All.
He was 38, 39 years old. Yeah. But he did pretty well for the Cubbies. He hit 30 bombs there.
Mm.
There at Wrigley Field.
I'll be damned.
I'll be damned.
He's just a Hall of Famer, Fred McGriff, right?
Damn it.
Didn't he get in a couple years ago?
Yeah, my guy's in. The crime dog.
Yeah, I think that was that Tom Emanski that got him in. I think it was those.
Had to be throwing the ball from the outfield into those garbage cans.
Those VHS tapes. Did you ever know someone that bought the Tom Emanski, the back-to-back-to-back, like AAU national champions?
No, but I do remember coaches tipping over plastic garbage cans just like that. Be like, all right, try to throw it in the can. Like, they just ripped off the commercial.
All right, Ducks, Hard Knocks type stuff coming. Did you see that?
True story.
they doing a...
it's not officially Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got a little something dropping next week.
Tuesday.
What's it... what platform?
Well, here, we'll get into it next because we're running low on time.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you about it next. And then we're going to hear some Jed Fish.
Yeah, you don't hear from Jed Fish that much down in these parts.
Jed Fish talking Iowa.
Him and his visor.
Yeah, I like Jed Fish. Jed Fish has the chance, if they get good and he stays.
Which he won't, but.
If those two things happen, he has a chance to really spice up the Washington-Oregon rivalry.
Absolutely, because he'll poke the bear.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer would not. He's very buttoned up.
Yeah. And Chris Peterson wouldn't either, but Fish and Lanning, I think, will.
Yeah, I think they, but see, I would see them as being like mutual friends, kind of laugh, funny, ha-ha about it, but also really giving each other crap, which would be great.
Yeah, I would love to see a little, you know, we need some coaches to embrace some a-holes and elbows. Let's go. Come on.
All right. We'll get to that next. It is 3:59 on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.